The next case of the morning is number 05-1780, Wang against the Attorney General. Mr. McCullough.
Good morning. May it please the Court. I'm Edwin McCullough, and I represent Yansung Wang, Lin Zhu, and Tang Wang. They are husband, wife, and son who's about 17 years old. And they have been in the immigration court system since 1993, starting with the father and ending up with a decision of the Board of Immigration Appeals in 2005.
Well, I believe we'd appreciate if you'd raise your voice a bit. That
yes.
Records your, that
actually,
records your voice, but it doesn't amplify it very well.
You can also raise the podium. But no, don't raise that. Push the button underneath. Look at underneath. Under. Show them, will you? Right. This will astonish you. See there?
Magic.
Magic.
I'm not a Mr. Summers, but I'll try to elevate him. I think I want to start off with the decision, which I put on page 12 of my brief, where the judge said, the respondents have failed to present authenticated or genuine evidence that an abortion occurred in China, or if an abortion occurred, that it was involuntary. I think this is the kind of determination that doesn't pass muster. It doesn't decide whether or not the asylum seeker is credible or not. It's a guess. It's not the kind of factual finding that this court has required in the case of Al versus Gonzalez. And then the immigration judge went on to say that the testimony of the respondents in the hearing, which was the initial hearing, was consistent except for the abortion certificate. But then he went on in his finding to find that the testimony was implausible. I submit that this finding is not supported by the record. It starts off on page 7 of the oral decision, and that relates to on December 23rd, 1989, the authorities had come to their home and intimidated Lin Zhu, the wife, and she admitted that she was pregnant. The court says that it was implausible that they would have stayed home after that date. I think that's, to use another sports analogy, it's like Monday morning quarterbacking. They were faced with a dangerous situation, and they did what they could with limited resources. And in fact, the husband, Yan Sung Wang, did escape China by the beginning of the year. I think that if an asylum seeker finds a story not to be plausible, that the immigration judge must find some support in the record. There's simply no support in the record for this finding. And then the second part was the fighting with the birth control authorities on December 26, when the wife was in the surgical room and the husband went to see what was going on. And, of course, he had a reaction. He was very upset. The altercation was really the authorities guarding the site of the abortion going on and pushing him away and calming him down. I don't think that that's implausible at all. Then the court went on, and the immigration court went on to say that the respondents, the asylum seekers, failed to present genuine or authenticated evidence that an abortion occurred. Well, there was the uncontradicted testimony of both respondents that the abortion did occur, and there was a diagnostic certificate that was issued upon the wife leaving the hospital on December 30th, 1989. In fact, there was really no contradictory testimony. I don't believe that is implausible at all, and certainly not. There's no support in the record for such a finding. And then the court went on to find that the facts following the birth of the couple's first child were not plausible. The first child was born, and the wife had to report to the family planning authorities and have an IUD implanted into her body. And then after a short period, she had it removed by a private physician and became pregnant in 1989. What about that is implausible? Again, the immigration judge points to no record support for such a finding of implausibility. He also says simply that the wife, when the authorities came on December 23rd, 1989, could have denied that she was pregnant. Well, she was there facing angry men from the government. She was frightened. She said she was pregnant. They could have taken her to the hospital or to a medical clinic and tested her for pregnancy. I don't think that's not an implausible reaction to the situation. And likewise, the court found that the husband's escape from China was implausible because he couldn't possibly have escaped in such a short amount of time. Well, again, that's not supported by the record, and I cited a case from this court that reversed a decision very similar to that. Issue about the abortion certificate, the immigration judge misstated the record in determining that he said that it was issued on the date of the abortion, December 26, 1989, when in fact it was issued when she was discharged from the hospital. There's no contrary testimony. And likewise, there's no country report from 1989 that relates to the issuance of abortion certificates. The country reports that were entered into the record, now I wasn't the trial counsel in this case, but they were from the 2002, around that period. So the testimony about the abortion certificate should be accepted. Now, in the remand from...
You're in your rebuttal time, sir.
Oh, okay, I'll reserve that. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. McCullough. Well,
good morning again, Your Honors. Carol Federighi on behalf of Respondent Alberto Gonzalez in this matter. The board and the immigration judge recently found that Mrs. Lin and Mr. Yang's claims of past persecution were not credible, and he also recently found that their claims of future persecution were not supported by the information in the record about the country conditions in China. First, just the past persecution finding. Petitioner's counsel was referring mostly to the immigration judge's opinion in his argument. In fact, what the court reviews here is both the board and the immigration judge's opinion. The board focused on four contradictions in the evidence or implausibilities, and those are sufficient to support the adverse credibility finding here. First, Mr. Yang, in his original asylum application, stated that his wife had been sterilized. Then later on at the hearing, they both testified that she had had a forced abortion. Also, in the asylum application, he failed to mention the altercation with the birth planning officials, which was the impetus for his departure from China. So you'd think that would be something that would be mentioned in the application. He also three times tried to return to China, which suggests, again, that he did not really fear any kind of further repercussions from the alleged altercation with the birth planning officials. And then finally, the board and the immigration judge found it implausible that the couple would have remained at home on the day and time of when she was supposed to report for the abortion and done nothing to hide. She was supposed to report for the abortion at 7 a.m. at the hospital. She was at home alone without her husband at 9 a.m. when the birth planning officials came to take her to the hospital, according to her story. It seems implausible that if they were planning to flee to avoid the abortion, that they would have remained at home after the time that she was supposed to report at the hospital. And this is a couple who, for their first child, they had to take measures to escape the birth planning officials. She went and lived with her mother, her family, and when she gave birth, because she didn't have a birth permit, she was not allowed to give birth in a hospital. So she knew how to avoid the birth planning officials, but somehow it was she didn't in this case, and the immigration judge recently found that to be implausible. Petitioners argued that the asylum application should be disregarded because someone else filled that out for him. He was new to the country, didn't understand English, etc. However, the immigration judge, under this court's review standard, is not required to accept his explanation as long as there's other plausible explanations in the record. The standard is whether the record compels the fact finder to find that he was credible. Here, the immigration judge reasonably concluded that a better explanation for the contradiction between the asylum application and the testimony was that he had changed his story, that originally he said his wife was sterilized. Then when he realized that, you know, she may actually have to show up at the hearing, he changed his story to claim a forced abortion. Moving on to the finding of whether there was a well-founded fear of future persecution in China, basically, namely whether they would be forcibly sterilized because they now have two children. The immigration judge, as affirmed by the board in full, reasonably found that they had not established a well-founded fear that they would be forcibly sterilized if forced to return to China. The board relied on the most recent evidence in the record. That included the State Department reports in a 1998 profile, which indicated that there was no official policy of forced sterilization, that the birth planning policies were applied more leniently in rural areas, such as the area that this couple is from, and that mostly they rely on fines and other administrative measures to enforce the birth planning policies. The immigration judge also relied on a 2000 report by a Canadian fact-finding mission to China, which reported that 33% of the families in the Fujian area that they looked at have two children, and 27.8% have more than two children. It also reported that 80% of the women use IUD as a form of birth control, and that sterilization, while encouraged, is not mandated. The petitioner has criticized the report, the reliance on this report, by arguing that they did not talk, they only talked to government officials. But in fact, if you look at the administrative record on page 191, you'll see that they did talk to villagers and to returned would-be emigres, people who had come here and been sent back. So they did talk to actual citizens about their experiences in China. The petitioners claim that the report did not look at the exact area of China that they were from. It looked at four counties in Fujian province, but not their particular county. However, there is no evidence in the record specifically relating to their particular county, except I think one of the regulations that they introduced, which dated from 1997, and again, that's just the policy. It doesn't say anything about how it was enforced, and the immigration judge was entitled to rely on this most recent fact-finding mission, where individuals actually went into China and talked to people and tried to find out exactly what the facts on the ground were, and not just what the various policy papers stated.
Thank you.
Then if, since the immigration judge and board didn't believe that they had experienced past persecution, it, there was no reason to believe that the petitioners here would be specifically targeted for any particularly onerous birth planning policies, rather that their experience would be what the norm is in China, which appears to be that people with two children or more do exist, and that forcible sterilization is not an official policy, and apparently is only reported in a few instances. The immigration judge and board's conclusion that they had not established that they themselves would be subject, faced a reasonable possibility of being subject to forcible sterilization, is consistent with this court's decision in Chen, which I cited in my 28J letter, and also the board's recent decision in In Re CC, both of which the tribunals held that the evidence did not show that there was a reasonable possibility that individuals with no specific evidence that they would be particularly targeted would be subject to forcible sterilization. I finally want to point out that they've waived their CAT and withholding of removal claim by not discussing that in their opening brief. And if there are no further questions, I would just argue that we believe the board decision should be upheld here.
Thank you, Ms. Federighi.
Okay.
Mr. McCullough had 2 minutes left.
First of all, I'd like to address the issue of that there's no evidence that there would be sterilization. The asylum seekers did present a certificate from their village that in Fujian province that women with two children were subject to sterilization. That the immigration judge rejected that because it was not authenticated, but it is in the record. It should have been admitted. There's no way that they could have got an authenticated copy from the officials in China. I cited the Zhang case. Again, the contradictions that the Board of Immigration Appeals cited, I've addressed those already in my opening argument here. Their implausibilities that are not supported by the record. Counsel has not cited the record to you, anything that supports these contradictions, and I submit that the decision is in error, and that it should be vacated, and the case should be remanded to the Board of Immigration Appeals. Unless your honors have any more questions, I'll stop right here.
Thank you, Mr. McCullough.
Thank you.
Thanks to both counsel in this case, and we will take it under submission. We've finished the call of the day, and therefore the court will rise until 9:30 tomorrow.